Hey, and welcome to The Weed Out, where we talk about the bullshit and the nonsense in our backyard. This week, we have a special guest. We're welcoming back Katie Talbot from Neighbor to Neighbor, a local organizing activist group. They focus on housing and lots of other issues, but a lot of issues that are near and dear to the Weed Out's heart. So before we say hi to Katie, I should introduce my co-host, as always, Joanna May Booty.
Hi, everyone. He said my name. I hope you're well.
Well, I'm just obsessed with saying our...
all three of our names together. Yeah. Yes. I would like any listener with a problem with my name to know it could be longer.
We've been getting lots of feedback on the social media from, right wing or liberal folk that don't agree with our non-carceral stance. For some reason, like, it's either go live in your mom's basement or the fact that we have three names.
Very upsetting for some people. Yes.
It's very strange. So it's like, it happens like usually the third back and forth is when it gets brought up. And this has been dozens of times since we started the Weed Out because we both uniquely have our names.
and our middle name is only three letters. Like actually that's like what our parents did for us. We didn't do that for the podcast. So to all of our name haters, please calm yourselves, find something else to upset you. Touch grass. And we are middle-aged people. So as much as I would love to live in my parents' basement, my father is dead. And I don't think that would work. So both of those things always make me laugh. It's just like, oh goodness gracious. Please go take a walk. Please go take a walk, y'all.
Speaking of middle age, you know, that literally as a personal note, when I was a kid, I went to an Irish Catholic school. So everybody was named John, Daniel, Ryan, Stephen. There, I had multiple Daniels, multiple Johns in my K-8 tiny little school. And they would make fun of my name because I had a quote unquote weird name. And I would go home and tell my mom. My mom would be like, first of all, your name's English. Like, it's one of the most like historically common names. Like, what the fuck are they talking about? So tell them to shut the fuck up. Give them the history of your name. And then also the reason she named me and my siblings our middle names was because she felt she didn't take my father's name. She kept her maiden name, which was taboo at the time. She also felt like middle names for her children would be a way to reignite and pass on the name of a woman that married into my father's family. So that was my mom's little fuck you to the patriarchy and my grandmother. I believe she's never said that, but she told me all your middle names are maiden names from people that gave up their name to become Petersons. So that's names are important. Don't make fun of people's names. They are who they are.
They are. I want to tell my name story now to you haters. So my grandfather actually chose my first name because his best friend growing up, when his father was not able to stay and he had to like finish high school, he stayed with his high school teacher, and his best friend's name was Joanna. And my middle name is my grandmother's name, Mary Ellen. She went by May. So I'm my grandfather's two most special friends and special ladies that he had. And he actually chose my name. And my last name was Booty. So I got made fun of a lot. You could imagine most kids in elementary school loved yelling J Booty, Booty Call, all those things. So again, to anyone out there who's fixated on hating on my name, like I've heard it all and hard LOL. But I love my name, just like Spencer.
And if you find yourself criticizing what somebody's named for being different, whatever, we're both very white, but remember that there's more important work to be doing. So that's my awkward segue into bringing our guest on. And as always, you can go to our website, www.theweedout.com, to get any information we say on this episode or any episodes, see the rundown of the episode, any relevant links. So if you're trolling, maybe spend a little less time doing that. Maybe sending our friends at Neighbor to Neighbor some money or some of your time and support. Maybe you could volunteer. So without any further ado, I want to introduce Katie Talbot to the show.
Welcome, Katie.
Thanks, y'all. I'm excited to be back.
How's everything? How's your summer been? How's everything going? We haven't talked to you since the spring on the podcast anyways.
Summer has been really, really busy. We've got lots of work happening, not just in Holyoke, but in Springfield and like statewide. And like been really dedicated and invested in leadership development this summer and like getting some of our members who like traditionally who come from communities that traditionally have been disenfranchised into some of the like more intense organizing leadership training. So that's been really dope to watch folks that walked into Neighbor to Neighbor having no clue that they have power, and like through this summer watching them like just step into being badass organizers. So so the summer's been really, really busy.
It sounds like a good busy though.
Oh yeah, for sure. For sure. Yeah. We've even had like some wins, thus far this year. And, you know, so that always feels good. But yeah, it's been busy and it's about to get busier because it is municipal election season. With Neighbor to Neighbor, participates in the election process. So we've been doing some endorsements, in Holyoke with city councilors that are running. And then we'll start the same process in Springfield, post primaries, because there's just a lot happening in Springfield. So.
Yeah. I'm very interested in the race in Springfield. I've been watching the mayoral primary shape up. So I think that will be an interesting race if things shake out. I'm just not sure what things will shake out the way. I have no idea what will happen in the end.
Agreed. I have no idea. That's partly why we're kind of like, and we have a bunch of allies that are running, right? Like Hearst, Ramos, and Letterman are all our people. So just trying to like step back. I will say that like the next couple weeks we're going to do some work around calling Sarno out for leaving lots of tenants out of housing conversations. So that'll kind of be the work we're doing for the primaries is just not Sarno.
Yeah.
So just for everybody at home that may not know, Mayor Sarno is who Katie's referring to. He's the mayor of Springfield. He's been entrenched since Richard Neal became a congressman. So Mayor Sarno has been through four gubernatorial administrations. So he has nobody to blame. I'm sure we could do a whole book on Mayor Sarno, but I just wanted to give everybody some context on Mayor Sarno. So Katie, for standing tall against Mayor Sarno.
I appreciate that. There's lots that we could pick apart about Mayor Sarno, but specifically, I don't know if I shared last time I was on, but we're doing a lot of housing work, both statewide, we have agendas, and locally, we've been organizing with tenants in Holyoke and in Springfield. And for a year, it popped up on my memories the other day that a year ago, we had our first press conference around Springfield Garden properties, and we still haven't been invited to the table for conversation. Like a year later, right? Numerous protests, numerous, you know, organizing tactics. And we've not to say we haven't had some wins with some of the other agencies and the Attorney General's office, but the city of Springfield has yet to ask a single Springfield Garden tenant what they think should happen or what it's been like living there. We're having a renters rally tomorrow morning. I have no idea when this will air, but we're having a renters rally in Springfield on August 29th and then another one in Holyoke on September 13th. Because we're going to just keep the conversation of housing and not just like first time home ownership, right? Which is important and great, but there's, you know, Holyoke is 64% tenants. Springfield is 46 something like that percent tenants. So we make up half the population and we continuously get left out of the conversation.
And that's unacceptable. The fact that Springfield hasn't responded to anyone or even just the group of those like standing out and making statements. I would think that at this point, if you really cared and you were running a primary as a mayor, that you would like make a point to look at your community and be like, oh, I like really care about this issue of housing because it shows where your values and your priorities lie. So I just want people to think about that when they look to the administrations in their towns who aren't helping tenants receive help when they need, we all need housing. We need safe, affordable, clean housing. Just, we need it.
And when Mayor Sarno, instead of meeting with y'all or having even press conferences about housing, he spends his time as an avid cop watcher. You can take my word for this. He spends a lot of his time holding press conferences about gun violence. And you know what is a number one indicator of solving fucking gun violence? Fixing housing.
Housing.
Yeah.
It's insane. And also, you know, obviously sidebar, in a country that has more people than guns, and we have a whole population that's desperate, what the fuck do you think is going to happen? It's a tinderbox. So we need to rethink all these and how we solve these problems. Gun violence probably would go down if we actually gave an honest go at housing and food and healthcare security. So, you know, Mayor Sarno, I'm watching you, man. You're spending all your time at these press conferences, scaremongering. And it's true. There is violence, and violence is scary. But, you know, you're not helping your, it's kind of like we have this issue in Holyoke where, like, if you keep advertising Holyoke's this dangerous place, nobody will fucking come with the self-fulfilling prophecy. And I'm not saying you hide, but like, stop highlighting it. Like, we should also talk, we should also boost up the good things we do. Cause if you raise the economy, the violence will go down, period.
Well, and also think about the stuff that Katie's talking about right now. Like, community members have come together. They've talked. They're working together to form coalitions, tenants' rights groups. I personally, as someone, if I were in a position as administration, I would look to them and think, wow, how responsible and organized. And they shouldn't even have to be. I'm going to reach out and see what's going on with them. So I think it is super uplifting when someone like Katie comes on and tells us that, wow, all these community members are working together. And, you know, the mayor hasn't got back to them yet, but the fact that they're sticking with it and they're still going to stand out and keep going, it's really awesome to hear, Katie.
Yeah, I've shared with you before. I'm grateful that I'm able to do this work, but also, like, shared, you know, just in this conversation about the badass organizers that I get to work with. And it's them, right? Like, I don't live in a Springfield Garden building. I'm a tenant. I got a kid, right? I don't know if I'll ever be a homeowner. So I'm directly impacted by the bullshit systems that tenants have to go through. But I don't live at Springfield Gardens. And it is one of the, like, deepest grassroots work that I've ever done, because it is Springfield Garden tenants leading all of this work, right? Like, they're the ones making the decisions about who we target, what the demands are, right? And we've had some wins. We had a direct action against the management. Yeah, we went and took over their office. It was fucking amazing. Like, papers all over the wall, like, they abandoned the office and we got a meeting with them, you know? So we've had some wins, but it is, those wins are not changing the materialistic experiences of our people. And so we won't stop until, like Joanne said, like, we all have safe, secure, affordable, clean, dignified housing. Like, everyone has the right to feel peace when they go home, and for the most part tenants don't get that. So if it's not Springfield Gardens, it'll be someone else until we get dignified, safe, affordable, secure housing.
I don't know if you saw, like, over last week or maybe over the weekend, there was a Maura Healey was having a fundraising event on Nantucket, and a bunch of climate activists you know, protested, and the folk that were there as donors or people attending the fundraiser were, like, you know, they're on video, like, putting like, you know, not violently, but putting hands and demeaning these activists, saying, like, I don't care if you die. They're some of the biggest landlords in the state. When they were ID'd, they were ID'd as some of the biggest landlords in the state. So I wonder how many, the one that said, I don't care if you die. I wonder if he owns any properties in Springfield and which ones he owns. Just anybody out there want to do some research.
I don't want to just the
housing research has been mind blowing to me. Just the amount that I've learned in the last year, and the amount that our system allows these slumlords to move in loopholes that is totally legal is mind-blowing to me. They're able to, a place like Schwebb Partners, which owns Springfield Gardens, is able to use federally backed mortgages, right? FHFA mortgages, to purchase their properties Then they turn them into individual businesses, each building, so that when they go to court, when they get held accountable, if the building's empty, they're like, oh, we don't have any money, right? But they've used our tax dollars to buy those properties to begin with. And it's all legal. It's fucking legal. So when I say I'm directly impacted by the systems that exist in which, you know, tenants have to figure out how to navigate, that's the kind of shit, right? I pay taxes and my money's being used for the rich to continue to get fucking richer at the cost of my housing. My housing!
Socialism for the rich. Socialism for the owner class. Fucking bootstraps, bare knuckle boxing cap for the rest of us.
Yeah. Yep.
That's what it is. And as a, you know, I am lucky to have a mortgage with a home that will eventually maybe be mine. I don't know. I don't know if I'll ever retire. Like, you know, I make $38,000 a year, full disclosure, and I fucking break my back doing my work. So like, this is a normal reality for people. And this is like, for people that own houses, the quote unquote taxpayer, blah, 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 fuck you. Tenants pay the taxes.
Yeah, everyone pays taxes.
Well, even my landlord is not, my landlord's not coming out of their own pocket to pay those property taxes.
That's my fucking property tax.
Remember that if you hold landlords accountable and they actually have to upkeep their properties, that's good for your fucking property value. I hate this system, but like, come on, like think about it. Like you want the people living around you, A, to have extra money in their pocket so they can spend money in the goddamn economy, and also that their houses aren't falling down and they're safe. And then your community's safer, your fucking housing property goes up, value goes up. It's the cruelty. It's the cruelty that gets me.
I was going to ask, like, the cruelty of these loopholes is so, I'm speechless. I'm barely speechless ever. So, you know, I just think the cruelty of these types of loopholes, Katie, like, are there things that we can do at the legislature, and I'm sure you'd know better than me, like at the state level or the federal level, where we can stop this type of thing?
Yeah, so we are organizing. You know, one of our targets is the Federal Housing Finance Agency, the FHFA, who backs some of these mortgages, right, to have them really implement some tenant protections. There's other things that happen, right? Not just like the rich being able to get richer by using our tax dollars and loopholes, but like for people's daily lives. Right. I think about this woman in Holyoke who has lived in her building for 13 years and is currently facing a no cause eviction because it was recently bought and they want everybody out to flip it and charge $2,100 a month for rent, right? All legal. It's fucking legal. It's legal. We live in a no cause eviction state, which means your landlord can evict you for no reason. This woman has receipts for paying her rent every month. Like, and she is actively trying to find a new place. Her thought is like, I don't want to be someplace that people don't want me there, which sucks, right? After 13 years. But she's actively looking and they couldn't wait. So now she has an eviction, regardless of how it plays out in court. It now will forever pull up on her housing court record. Even if they've come to agreement, it doesn't matter. Once your name gets put in housing court, you have a housing court record, and hopefully your next landlord wants to know, right? Like what happened. But for the most part, they don't. They don't care.
I was a tenant for very, very many years. And I had landlords that I've actually been in housing court for. And I didn't know they could do no cause evictions in Massachusetts. Like everyone acts like Massachusetts is so progressive and helpful for tenants. And like in my particular case, it was almost an eviction. And then community legal aid, so I always shout out to them, got involved and did help me like navigate and getting through the court system. And like, I don't have an eviction, but I do have other things that were filed on my, like against me. And I thought like based on all of the things people always say about our state being so progressive, that wasn't the case. So thank you for enlightening me, but I'm so, that is so, so, so upsetting that that's possible.
Yeah, it's gross. Massachusetts, I mean, comparatively to the rest of the country, Massachusetts does have a lot of tenant protections and tenant laws, but the way it actually plays out in on the ground and in people's lives is very, very different. And shout out to Community Legal Aid, amazing work they're doing. But I want to share with you too, like that their capacity has dwindled so much that they are only taking eviction cases for folks that have subsidies, because wow. the eviction rate in Hampden County has increased so dramatically over the last year that now CLA is like, we just can't, we don't have the capacity, which is crazy. So upsetting.
That is so upsetting. And I was recently looking at some like statistics regarding homelessness nationwide. And it was saying like pre-pandemic, there were like 2 to 3, I think, million people potentially homeless. And that now at, like organizers would say like the numbers are showing around 5. But organizers think it may be like far more than that, because it's just eviction after eviction type of thing.
Well, and we don't account for folks. If you do not have a name on the lease, right? If you're staying with your family, if you're staying with friends, we don't ever count those folks as houseless because they have shelter. Those people are houseless, right? There is no security in staying with your family or your friends. There is no rights in that situation, right? So those folks are houseless too, and they never get counted when we look at the numbers of houseless community members. Yeah, it's crazy that the housing work has probably been the deepest, the most like rewarding, the most fulfilling, the most powerful, and the most heartbreaking, because I think about, you know, in my world, it would be to kick Schwab Partners, who again owns Springfield Gardens, from doing business in Massachusetts and implement, you know, restrictions on corporate home ownership. And because of Commerce Clause, because of, you know, other laws that have been laid before I came, you know, I don't know if that'll ever happen. And it's disheartening because I'm watching people get sick living at their homes. I'm watching people, right? I think in June, there were 2 people found dead in Springfield Garden Apartments as a direct result of them not locking the doors, right? So people are fucking dying because of where they live, not because of the activity that they're in, but in their own apartments, they're dying. And we're like, our response is get a better job and move. Right. Like that's
right. That's like not possible for these. It's awful. The cruelty is just appalling.
Yeah. Again, we're having one of the things we're doing in Holyoke is as a direct result of that gap, right, between what our laws are and how it plays out in people's daily lives is we want an Office of Tenant Protections in the city of Holyoke. It would fill the gap, right? It would let us know who our landlords are with a landlord registry, which would give us access to how many evictions they filed, how many no-cause evictions they filed. It would let us know how many code violations they have had, right? It would also mean annual inspections of all rental units. Holyoke has traditionally been affordable for rent, but the quality is like, is awful. So this would allow for annual inspections to get a landlord, certificate of occupancy. And then it would be know your rights workshops every quarter for tenants and landlords, right? Because a lot of times we sell this idea that, you know, being a landlord is a pathway to generational wealth. So people get into it with the opportunity and don't know what the fuck they're doing. So it would have quarterly know your rights and responsibility workshops. And then we would have legal services available until we can get the right to counsel passed statewide. Because also in Massachusetts, you do not have the right to a lawyer and housing court, but you bet your ass your landlord's got one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So this office that we're fighting for would fill in that gap in a real fucking way for people.
Well, I'll be rooting for that. I'll be rooting for them to implement that. And I'll be hopefully able to put some pressure when you all attend city council meetings, to keep us informed. I know Spencer and I will make sure to be there or do what we can.
I will do that. I do want to, I'm not as great as Spencer in segue, but I did want to, the last time we talked, I believe we talked a little bit about ShotSpotter, and I wanted to share an experience with y'all. We had our neighbor to neighbor endorsement meeting 2 weeks ago. It'll be 2 weeks on Wednesday. And a bunch of us were outside afterwards talking Main Street in front of Nueva Esperanza. And I don't know, an AR-15 went off. Right? See a blacked out car pull out of the alleyway, right? We're all on the ground, kind of like, fuck, what just happened? And 20 minutes later, we're like, oh shit, we have to call the cops because ShotSpotter never went off. It never fucking went off. And then to top it off, we said to the cop, isn't there a ShotSpotter down here? He said, yeah. Was it activated? I don't know. I didn't have my phone on me. So how is that an option? If that's how you get notified that a ShotSpotter went off through your phone, why isn't it should be part of your fucking uniform then. But we were waiting because we were like, oh, ShotSpotter. And it took us, I'll be totally honest, it took us 20 minutes to be like, oh my God, someone could be dead. We need to call the cops. Like we need like medical services down there. But so much for these things, you know, being flawless, amazing, working systems. Yeah.
I'm going to segue because this will give me a chance to rant because technology doesn't keep us safe. We keep us safe. Community. Yes. If the default was fuck gunfire, let's call the authorities is taken away because we have technology, then nobody fucking calls. And I'm not saying the cops would have done anything. I'm glad the cops didn't show up. I'm sure because he probably would have shot one of y'all. So like it actually probably was best that it failed. Like that's the reality of it. That's how the stats work out. And you know, the body cameras, the plate readers, all this stuff doesn't actually keep us safe. It's just a tool, another tool and another fucking waste of money. Cause it, you know, apparently it's going to these guys' personal cell phones. And then yeah, like you said, not part of your uniform. Again, I don't even want to spend time fixing that problem. I just want to be like, no more toys for you. You guys don't deserve toys. And, you know, you can tape the area off. That's what you do. Like that's all you do. And you don't need a gun to do that. So, and you suck with handling your guns. And sideway, I'm glad, I would love to hear who you're, if you can, anyways, if you're ready to tell us who you're endorsing from,
I cannot do that. I will absolutely, once we know, like once we have made it public, we're still in the process. We have three more interviews that we're doing. So that is happening this week. My thought is after Labor Day, you know, sometime next week, we'll have a public announcement of who we're endorsing. It was a phenomenal process though. I think we had 30 community members come, neighbor to neighbor members come and be able to really like dissect and ask questions and kind of dream of what it would be like if these folks would be representing us. So it was a phenomenal process. I was really grateful. So yeah, as soon as I can, I will. Just not yet.
This is a personal note as a constituent of people in Holyoke, Vermont. I don't know if this interests you, but Mayor Josh Garcia has blocked the weed out on social media.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So in your vetting process, I would like that to be included. And everybody playing at home, that's a data point. A mayor is afraid of a tiny...
And it may not be legal.
Oh yeah, you know, then there's the case law is a little fuzzy on can they do that because it is technically a personal account, but he does government business on it, so therefore it's a government account. Yada yada yada. And yeah, I know we're a tiny little like duo, like you know, media company, quote unquote. The mayor of a city of 4,000 people.
Well, to block journalists is weird.
Blocking journalists because he doesn't like us bringing up what's going on with the sexual pest in internal affairs, Captain Reyes. Like, do you not see how bad this looks? The dude was in charge of internal affairs, the same department that gave back 100 complaints and said that, yeah, all good. Like, what are we doing here? Who lose their fucking guns? That guy's in charge of the people who lose their guns in Holyoke Mall or point their gun at another officer in uniform in the parking lot in view. Like, it's insane. And then we want them to fucking show up to deal with an AR-15 situation where, you know, a group of you are just standing there and one of you could have been, seen threatening or had something in their hand. And that's how, like, you could have just been on another t-shirt.
There's a bunch of us that have Corey's, right? So the idea of like even having a conversation with a cop, let alone calling the cops, is like not the fucking avenue that any of us want to be going down. I think it's really interesting that the mayor has y'all blocked. And I think it, you know, coming back to the reason we're having this renters rally in Holyoke is like the clear disconnect from like our representatives to what people, real life, real residents have to say, and the participation that they want to be having, and the obstacles in which to have access to it. I think that says a lot. And it, you know, honestly motivates me to like fucking go knock some more doors and show up, right? Cause that the whole idea is for us to participate. And when you are telling us very, very blatantly, no, we don't want it. Well, I don't want to hear it. You know, it's problematic. It's really problematic.
As the resident homeowner, I'm blessed with, you know, with having family that was able to help me get a home. Now getting into specifics, it's like I'm really lucky. So I wouldn't have a home otherwise. So that's why I feel very like I would be renting, right, if not for that stroke of luck. And I'm disappointed that at city council meetings or in the past that there's only been one, maybe two homeowners showing up to support y'all. The homeowners got to show up too. And we have to recognize this is good. Like if people can live comfortably and safely, it's better for everybody.
And everyone should have that right. Like if you don't think that everyone should have that right, you should self-reflect and think about yourself. You know, we're all one accident away from being a houseless person with nothing left. Like the medical industrial complex will take every penny and you'll be left with nothing. And I feel that I think people, you're much closer in life typically to someone who may be houseless than these wealthy people that you're watching on TV or seeing in the media. You should be standing together shoulder to shoulder with the people in your community, your neighbors, whether or not you're a homeowner, or a renter, or a landlord. Like, I think that we all really need to self-reflect if we don't think that like stable housing should be a right. And I know that may sound extreme and I sound radical. And if that's the case, then I would hope that you search your soul for some radical love for others, because you're a ghoul if you don't believe this.
Ghoul. Katie, before I, you know, pivot to bigger picture things, do you have anything you'd like to add
about housing or about some of the other work that we're doing?
Any final thoughts?
Yeah. So a lot longer than a final thought. I did want to plug two things. Neighbor to Neighbor has a criminal justice reform team that we've been like working hard on, you know, headed towards our North Star, a system of accountability that causes no more trauma or harm. There's a couple things that we're working on. One of them is the felony enfranchisement ballot initiative. There's both state legislation that made it out of committee. We're one of three states in the country that has had their felony enfranchisement bill make it out of committee. So that's huge. But we're also launching a ballot initiative, which means from September 20th until November 20th, that's 8 weeks, we are collecting signatures, 80,000 signatures from across the state. And no county can get more than 20%. So that's 17,000 signatures in Hamden, 17,000 in Franklin, 17,000 in Hampshire County. So we're launching that campaign this fall. Really excited about it. I believe September 16th at 1 o'clock, we're going to be having a volunteer planning session at Enlace de Familias on Main Street here in Holyoke. We'll, you know, plan out where we're going to be, what events we're going to be at over the next 2 months. We need all hands on deck. It's mind blowing to me that the right to vote was taken away in Massachusetts as a punishment, right? Like there, folks organizing behind the wall to get better representation, right to vote taken, right? And since that has happened, we have watched education, health, mental health, physical health, food, recreation, all that shit dwindle behind the wall. So ballot initiative starting September, 20th, but we're doing a kind of launch on the 16th. Check out the website, nolonger35th.com. It'll share some webinars that we've done, things like that. Also want to share that we have three other policies that we've been working on. One of them is no cost calls, so that other folks behind the wall can stay connected to their community. 80% of our people are coming home. Like, don't we want them to fucking talk to their family and friends and community? A prison moratorium, which would put a halt on all surveying, planning, expansion of prisons, and then a automatic record sealing for any crimes that were thrown out, dismissed, found quaffed, not guilty, things like that. Currently, if you get arrested, if you get arrested and charged with something, regardless how it plays out, that still comes up on your quarry, which is crazy. So we want all of that stuff to automatically be taken off your quarry. I want to share that no cost calls was added into our governor's budget, which I believe just got signed from the state, from the House and the Senate. So we fucking won no cost calls in the state of Massachusetts, which means our people and their families will be able to stay in touch for free with no limits, no restrictions. So that's a big fucking deal. So really excited about that.
It's huge. Do we need to contact Maura Healey, though? Because I was reading online that she actually didn't move it forward. So was that pushed back to the House and Senate? Because I saw it was sitting, like, because the government had, like, taken their break and Maura Healey didn't move on it, that it would take a while to go into place. That was the last thing I read.
Yeah. So initially they thought it would go into effect December 1st because of the delay. But the last I heard is that actually it would be retro to July 1st from when it was supposed to be implemented. If that's the case, July 1st, like, our people are going to be getting checks from Surest, which is, like, huge. But that was, I think that was last week was the last I had heard that it was going to be implemented.
Okay,
July 1st.
That's amazing, though. That's more of an update than I knew. So thank you for sharing that, Katie.
Katie, you're better at the segues and hosting the podcast, because I was literally going to ask you about the big win, and the no cost call just happening. That's a win.
That's fucking huge.
Just as someone whose nephew was incarcerated for 7 years, being able to speak to each other costs our families so much money. And I don't think some families could even, and that didn't mean we get to talk a lot or see each other a lot. So I don't know if people who have never experienced this understand that the companies are gouging you for a phone call, and it makes it so, like, a lot of people can't even afford to make those calls. That's why this is so huge.
Two things. One, it was costing our families and friends like $12 million a year to stay in touch with their folks. It is costing the state of Massachusetts $3 million. So the power in negotiating is like crazy, but we were totally fine with our people spending that much money to stay in touch with their family and friends. That's gross that we were okay with that. And two, just want to shout out the Keeping Families Connected Coalition that, Neighbor to Neighbor got involved this year, but this work had been going on for a while. And the last legislative session, it had passed, right? Like, it had gotten through the House and the Senate, and the then Governor Baker vetoed it. There was no break. There was no, like, oh, we didn't win. It was like right back to it this year. And we were able, Neighbor to Neighbor was able to, like, step in and help do some Western Mass organizing around it. But the Keeping Families Connected was really, like, huge and instrumental in keeping this work moving and this win.
Yeah, that's huge. So it's not all bad, but you shouted out a bunch of initiatives and things that are coming up. Is how can our audience help?
Get a hold of me, Katie at n2nma.org. We're having, again, I'm not sure when this will air, but we'll have our renters rally in Springfield, August 29, 10 a.m. We will have another renters rally in Holyoke, pushing for an office of tenant protections, September 13th. Not totally sure the time yet. But, like, we need, you know, like Joanna said, like we need people, homeowners, landlords, tenants, houseless folks, to continue to have the conversation of housing on everyone's lips and everyone's mind, right? It is not going to be, it is a multi-tiered problem. So we're not going to have a one-tier solution, right? And we need all the voices at the table in order to navigate the way forward. It starts with us stopping looking at housing as a commodity, right? Like as an avenue to riches. But we need everyone in that conversation in order to really implement some policies to change that practice. So I'm always available, again, Katie at n2nma.org. We have monthly member meetings in Holyoke at the Holyoke Library, 6 p.m. The third Wednesday of the month. So the date fluctuates, but the day is always the same, the third Wednesday of the month. And in Springfield, our meetings are the fourth Tuesday of the month, 6 p.m. at the Brightwood Library on Plainfield Street. They are open to everyone, even folks that don't necessarily align with our values. Like we need to figure out how to organize across those lines that the right and the rich use to divide us. So even folks that are, you know, not 100% aligned with our values, come through and let's have a conversation and move forward.
Absolutely. So anybody, please, we'll link all this in the website notes. So you can always go to www.thewing.com or just contact us. We're more than happy to help you out, to get connected to folk like Katie and Neighbor. It's really important work, and couldn't have said it better myself. It is, you got to show up. So, and that means if you can't go to this rally, right, you got to write these mayors, you got to email them, put it on the record. You got to encourage your friends. You know, it's a million paper cuts we got to do, and, you know, encourage participating in local elections, like things we can change, and then holding these local electeds accountable and being, you know, these workshops, it sounds like you're going to have with your tenants' rights stuff. It's great. It's exactly, we got to arm the community with the knowledge they need to fight back.
I'm really grateful that y'all asked me to be back on the podcast. I'm always down to share kind of the work that we're doing, the ways to get folks active and engaged, and, you know, our wins, because we gotta about celebrate the wins, even if they're small, because the system doesn't want us to feel joy or success. So yeah, I appreciate y'all inviting me back.
You're welcome anytime. So anytime you go, that invite goes both ways. So if you ever have anything you need to share or get the word out on, we are a platform you can use anytime, and feel free to tell, you know, people you trust the same. So we're more than happy to get the word out. That's what we're trying to do.
Dope. Thank you.
Yes. And thank you for all you do, Katie. It's great getting to talk to you every single time.
It's really cool of Katie to stop by and tell us what's going on. Thank you, Katie. Thank you, neighbor. Thank you for all these badass organizers that are not mentioned. Katie's just the lead person. She does wonderful work, but she understands this effort. So we appreciate her and everybody else getting out there to try to fight back. So again, Joanna and I think the weed out stands for, you know, paper cuts. inundate the enemy with paper cuts, because we don't got a giant megaphone. We don't have tanks and cages. We don't have any of that infrastructure. So we got to just discourage young people from being cops. Discourage young people, or discouraging not just young people, just discouraging people in power from being shitty with their position or negligent. Because I think a lot of the times it's just negligence and path of least resistance. So I don't know, Joanna, do you want to do ghoulery and tomfoolery, or should I? Like, normally I introduce it. Do you want to switch it up this week?
Sure, because we already mentioned it mostly in the conversation with Katie, but I think it warrants another like, you know, little toss about. we recently noticed, I guess it was probably like a few weeks ago, maybe at this point, that the weed out is blocked by Mayor Josh Garcia of Holyoke. And like we mentioned, it's a fuzzy legal type of it's a fuzzy legal place because it's technically his personal account, but he does use it for mayoral and city business, like quite often actually. So the ACLU did get back to us, and like obviously they kind of, that's where we got this information about how it's kind of fuzzy. And I'm wondering, like, that's probably how Josh is able to, you know, say like, well, it's not illegal. And that may be the case, but it could be illegal. I mean, we're constituents who want to comment on something, and he's basically, as a mayor, decided that he just can't hear or view the thoughts that we may be expressing about something. Like tagging him on Twitter is so upsetting for him that he had to block our account. And I feel like, you know, most people who are interacting with the media, like it's a freedom of speech thing for me. And Josh also being a person who's in power and the mayor of the city of Holyoke, and whom Spencer and I have met with in person. Being a mayor doesn't make you a special person. It means that you got enough people in a town to trust you to be the person that they elect to then run their town. It is not easy to do, but it also isn't like, I'm sorry, I'm going to do like an Elle Woods thing here. Like what, like it's hard is how I feel when someone like Josh blocks us though. Because if you think you have the the backbone for leadership, and you block a tiny media company who is standing up for unions, workers, houseless individuals, and really cares about your community, even if they're asking you challenging questions. I don't know. That's some ghoulery to me, Spence. What do you think?
It's ghoulery and tomfoolery. I mean, it really is. It's the definition, Josh. Like you,
it's just like embarrassing for him.
At the end of the year, and when we do our version of the Dundies, I mean, you're going to be in the running.
Yeah, he gets one. Yeah, he gets
one. I don't know if you're going to get a like full ghoulery and tomfoolery, but because, like, here's the thing. Maybe, you know, we're not going to sue him. I don't got time for that.
Oh, we don't. I mean, and we don't have the money. We also don't have the money. Like, he, and what is he going to waste?
Well, I don't want to waste city resources on this.
He might sue us, but I don't want to waste Holyoke's resources right on this. So
and
I don't
know it's,
what. But like he probably
it's a
would
data point.
Oh yeah, it's just no. It's like Katie said, she was like, "Oh wow, yeah, like that's because we will come and ask. We may say things in a way that isn't, and you know, I tend to be the one that may say the things in the sweet way that everyone likes because I was programmed." Like most women, to be polite or we're not going to hear you. And I won't always do that though, but I think when our voice tends to be more critical and calling them out, or maybe Spence has the microphone, that might have just been a little too hot for Josh. And either way, it doesn't matter. Like if you can't take criticism again, like what are you doing in the position of mayor? It's just a ridiculous thing to think, oh, I'm just going to block out. I'm going to block this out. And it sounds like what Mayor Sarno is doing to the people who need good housing in Springfield Garden. And it makes me very leery and very, I don't know, I would be worried to reelect Josh if he can't even take the two of us just busting chops sometimes. I mean, I'm sorry, if you're doing something wrong, I'm not going to just let it happen.
And for those at home who need to hear the context, I'll give you the context, but I just want to remember that that line of thinking is victim blaming. In this case, we are the harm party in the eyes of the law. We are harmed by our government by not being able to see what he's saying as far as official government communication, which could be important to my general safety because that's what he's supposedly mandated with. Nor is he allowing people to see the criticism of him. So,
right, that's what it's the biggest issue.
And the thing we criticized him on And granted, I did it on purpose because he was talking about how great the community, how great it is to have community at the Puerto Rican Day Parade.
Which it is great.
And
is
we
great.
Said simply under his post, we agree. Community building and community trust is amazing.
We agree.
Captain Reyes is accused of sexual misconduct of a subordinate, and he is part, he was lead of internal affairs from what I've read by reporting from Slide, Shoestring. Yeah. Right? Why the fuck is he still here?
I know. It's just like, we should be able to he ask has a question.
There's a restraining order enforced by the court. I'm sorry. Like, this just stinks to high heaven. And that's what you block. Like, essentially, that's what, after that, we were no longer able to interact with his profile. So, and people were interacting.
He didn't block me. He didn't block me personally. Oh. So I guess I could still comment.
Oh, it's not
through my personal account, but it's not worth it. We were just using like our platform where we do and post our investigative journalism, or we share our podcasts or our work. We were using our space to, you know, like bring light to certain things. So you're right. Like, I don't know. I just, again, like as a leader, like if nothing, you can mute, you could even just mute us. But like the fact that you can't, it just says so much. It says so much. Like I can't hear or see these things.
Work. I can't have
like,
you.
Okay. Well, you're going to be like, are you going to be, okay?
I can't have you sully the day where I get to sing Kumbaya, which Kumbaya is fantastic. Like we should all get along.
Well, yeah, and I'm really happy that the Puerto Rican Day Parade happens. Like, that's a fantastic event.
They're half this city, and they are the just as much the culture of the city as the fucking weirdos that do the St. Patrick's Day,
the Irish thing. Like, yeah. And,
hey, hi, white guy grew up in Boston here, Boston area. Boston.
Irish went to high school in Dorchester. Like
the Irish bullshit. I you know, my spouse, my wife, she's
Yes, Bridgie's more.
Her father is from Ireland and England. Like he was born in Ireland, spent his some years in England, then he came here because of tragedies and just the realities of why people immigrate. And he is really enlightened. He hates the fucking shamrock flags and the bullshit. He's like, this is weird, because nationalism's fucking weird, especially a nationalism that you're like four generations removed for, where your ancestors sold out your culture to join the white supremacy culture to become cops in New York City and take shit over. And the point is, I know it's a rant, but just because you're having your day, that's all the more reason to ask you this question.
Yeah. Yep. It's not us trying to be like anti Puerto Rican Day Parade. It's just like, oh, you're on the megaphone. Well, while we got you out here for your press release, let's see what do you think about this?
Can you imagine?
It was no, and I'm sure he may have felt like it was a dig at the parade, but it absolutely was not. So I really hope he doesn't take it that way at all.
And I can promise you, if something like this is still going on, I'll rain on your Holyoke Day Parade. I mean, your St. Patrick's Day Parade twice as hard, because I actually hate St. Patrick's Day more than I hate any other holiday. Like, I denounce.
I mean, it's literally a holiday for like getting.
I literally denounce my roots. Like I do. I want nothing to do with the Irish Catholic shit out of Boston. That whole like, you know, we go to church but we're hungover. I get to say I love Jesus.
You black out at funerals because it's just easier than feeling.
And I hate, you know, non-white people. I have lots of disparaging things to say about other people.
I don't think all Irish people I'm talking feel that about, way. Like my dear sweet.
I'm talking about specifically the South Shore.
The Southies.
South Shore, Boston, Irish Catholic, like what Ben Affleck plays, like that stereotype.
Who?
Yeah, exactly. Matt Damon, like just in the last like 2 years, was told by his like teenage daughter, like, you can't say the F word about gay people. He just got that memo from a child, and he's like, oh, and he admitted, and like, credit to him, like, sidebar, like, I guess you're ignorant,
and admitting it, and being like,
yeah, I just stopped using that like like not even as like I just actively stopped using it. Like, no, that word is bad, like 2 years ago. And it's like, dude, what?
I know, but I will. So segue on this, which is so crazy.
That's the Irish Boston. Right, that's the Irish Boston. Like,
it's, so this, but this is a thing. I think he's a little bit older than millennial, but like a good friend of mine in Chicago recently tweeted, like, what is it with millennials? And like Matt Damon's on the cusp, so like Gen X there. What is it with millennials who still have like despicable like speech, like the way they speak, like saying
F
word for gay people or the R word, or I don't know. There's lots of different weird things that like we just don't think about. They were like 90s to like that's so gay. Even like
I was a kid in the 90s. All those, oh, everything you just too. Said, my yeah.
Like that's our, like that's,
I had
our,
to actively, like
everyone,
I had
it.
To actively unlearn that.
Yes. Yeah. But it's so crazy. So me and this person were just, that's why it's funny that you're bringing up the Matt Damon thing, because my one friend is just at the point where like a breaking point where he's kind of like, what is it with the people who are like, you know, like millennials and haven't gotten like understood or got the memo yet? And so, like you said, kudos to, I guess, for Matt Damon for figuring it out. But I was with you, like, I'm like 2 years ago. And to the people who are still doing it, it's like, how are you, like, who do you hang out? Like, this, you're not okay. Like, who are you hanging around that just accepts that behavior? And I'm guessing it's, I don't want to be rude, but white straight people, you're not okay, I think. This is a white straight woman telling you.
Absolutely not. Like, and so this is your promise that we will be far more disruptive on St. Patrick's Day, Josh.
Yeah, like it's not about the holiday. It's just about getting.
And I might do that to prove a point.
Question answered.
Anyways, but because, you know, the race thing might still be going on. So, hey, you know, figure it out between now and then. And hopefully anything happens between now and then, you also handle with transparency and understanding and actually address it. But regardless, we can go from hating Josh Garcia blocking us to Matt Damon and millennial swears that should go away forever.
But, yeah, they just need to
go. Weed out. There's weeds everywhere. So we all got to like work on that. And, but you know, Josh unfortunately doesn't have the ability to have tomfoolery that requires a personality. So
You got to have a sense of
we
humor.
We added the personality there with the whole Matt Damon. That's how I'm going to justify that ADHD brainstorm. We had to insert the tomfoolery because, unfortunately, if you're a little tyrant that can't handle criticism on the internet in 2023, you have no aspirations on higher office. You will not make it. You will cry. And that will be
cry harder.
That will be sad. And crying is a good thing. I'm not insulting.
It is, but I just want him to
cry instead of block.
Cry, baby, and cry. I would like him to own it and cry because what
I don't need
doing?
To see you cry. That doesn't give me joy. So yeah, just
no
own it. And yeah, so everybody that's stuck around for our rant about Mayor Josh Garcia, and you know, I'm sure we could do whole episodes of Mayor Sarno and different mayors around town. So it's election.
And it's not personal too, like to Josh, if he hears this, like this isn't personal, sweetheart. It isn't to any mayor. Like you all just need to be really focused on your constituents doing better, not just funding the police and the people that got you into the seats that you got. And from what I hear, like most mayors end up like getting into their position and then not even listening to the people that helped them get there. I'm not saying this is just out to Josh. I could name mayors in a lot of towns. Yeah, Sarno, Steve Ellis, my administrator of my town, and the three selectmen. Like, I could name, you know.
Mayor Menino in Boston. Mayor, Mayor Wu, currently not listening to the Progressive Caucus. Well,
Mayor Tyre in Pittsfield, may she be replaced. There's an election happening in Pittsfield. The primary is September 19th. I just want to plug that for people out in the Berkshires. It's a good race to be watching. Please get out and vote. September 19th. And please like follow what Katie said. Please try to get involved the best you can. Like we here at the Weed Out, we know that you can maybe not be able to get out there in person, but maybe you can send an email, call your legislator, whatever you can do to help is really, really does paper cuts. So thanks if you can do anything.
As always, thank you for listening to The Weed Out. Thank you for sharing. Independent media is how we do things. And, you know, like, sharing, subscribing, following, supporting us in any way you can. Reach out to us via email, theweedout@gmail.com. And I don't know, keep weeding out the bullshit. That's it for me. Joanna, take it away.
Everyone take care. My cats, Big Red and Gremulon, hope that you, just keep it real and try to stay well.